Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love. Have you ever considered what will happen when the language of cosmic love becomes common sense with a common language? Are you aware that this love language is, in fact, the learning process, the creative process, and the processes of consciousness at the quintessential foundation of self-governance? Think about that. Such a language of consciousness has the potential to involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness. This is what cosmic love is all about, higher conscience. Give yourself a checkup from the neck up. What do you think will happen to your world and the world at large as we become more conscious of how we are conscious, both individually and collectively? I'll give you a big hint. Take a good look at the worldwide web of consciousness that the internet has created. Consider this new net reality for what it truly is, a global revolution in higher consciousness. The instant, everywhere, interactive internet has eliminated space and time. We're all connected in a global village now. All knowledge is at your fingertips. Knowledge power as never before known to humanity. But where's the cosmic love, you may ask? There's a new net reality shaping the consciousness of humanity. Freedom to know better and the opportunity to do better has far outpaced the ability of our core institutions to keep up with the revolutionary capabilities for all humanity. That's what the internet represents, the evolving consciousness of humanity, the collective consciousness of humanity, and the collective future of humanity. That's where cosmic love comes in. Any good metaphysician with his finger on the pulse of humanity could tell you that. If you step out of the box of contemporary groupthink and if you become an objective observer of the evolutionary ascent of net reality caused by the internet, you will not only see a huge wave of change coming, but also the nature of that change and the role that cosmic love will play in change events. There is a natural evolutionary path to these changes. Cosmic love is a blueprint for that change. It always has been. But humanity is just beginning to grasp the multidimensional consciousness required to navigate the vast, uncharted realm of inner space, the internet, at the heart of the internet. This is the new global village consciousness that is defining the collective conscience of humanity. Let's get real. Net reality is what we make it. Where do you think it's going? How do you think we'll get through the birth pangs of a new world being born? Are you ready for the next big thing in the computer internet revolution? Would you agree that the best way to predict the future is to create it? Cosmic love is the answer to these questions. All I ask is that you listen and learn. See how you can catch the biggest wave of opportunity in history. I'll explain how you can ride that wave for phenomenal win-win benefits for yourself and all humanity. Those hearing this are obviously computer literate, so connect the dots. Get a grip on the net reality of global connection with the benefits of cosmic love. Someone has to do it. May it begin with us, united sovereigns in a united state of cosmic love. Always victory when we love enough. Keep the faith. Get the vision, embrace the virtue, make the vow, and claim the victory of cosmic love in your world and the world at large.
Every soul, this is Christopher Rudy for Cosmic Love, this date of March 27th, 2010. And today I'll be discussing the healthcare reform, the straight skinny on the deep doo-doo. And so if you'd like to call in, you can certainly do that. I'm going to be going over some material that I've published on the internet, an in-depth article on the subject. And you can certainly call in. We'll cuss and discuss the material. But I thought I would give a kind of a gentle overview so we keep our attitude centered and connected. And this is in reference to a Cherokee elder who was teaching his grandchildren about life. And he said to them, "A fight is going on inside me. It is a terrible fight between two wolves. One wolf represents fear, anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, inferiority, lies, guilt, resentment, revenge, pride, and superiority. The other wolf stands for joy, peace, love, hope, sharing, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, friendship, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside of you and every other person too." Well, the grandchildren thought about it for a minute, and then one child asked grandfather, "Which wolf will win?" And the old man simply replied, "The one I feed." So perhaps you've heard that before. I remember at the service at the National Cathedral when President Obama was inaugurated, one of the ministers actually referenced that classic story of this battle of light and darkness, or the good wolf and the bad wolf. And it was some time since Obama was inaugurated, and over the spring equinox, we saw Obamacare pushed through with the takeover of health care that benefits Wall Street largely over Main Street. And there are two ways to frame one's perception of this age-old battle of the bad wolf against the good wolf. And one is the cup is half empty, and of course the other, the cup is half full. You know, the one is the end of the world, and the bad wolf is fed. We channel negative energy into the situation. And the other, the cup is half full, and the good wolf is fed, and we channel positive energy into the situation. Because it's an ongoing process, and you might say it's the justice that just is, but the question is, which wolf are you feeding? So I provided a link on the Cosmic Love webpage in the introduction article. If you're listening to this in the future, listening to the archives in the future, you can click on that link and read about the article that I've written, and I'll be going through. And the subject of that is The Empire Strikes Back, which may seem an unlikely subject, but we're talking about the global American empire and how it is forcing the agenda of no public option to health care, and increasingly no public option to government except to prepare for what's coming. Now, I provided a link in my articles to recent websites where I go into what's coming. My last several shows I've done on BBS Radio, Cosmic Love, I've gone into detail of what's coming. I don't mean to be cryptic here. I'll be providing more information as I get into this material for the show today. And specifically, we're talking about what's coming with Earth changes and what are the portents for that, and specifically a myriad of signs of the time that point to the same clear indication of some serious changes coming that dwarf healthcare, to say the least. So let's keep this in perspective. And as I go into this, basically what I'm saying is to be careful of which wolf we feed, and also to basically say to lock and load with light and love, pray and prepare for come what may. So I'm going to try and keep this light to some serious material here, and I'd prefer to feed the good wolf, if you know what I mean. The Great American Empire, which is subject largely here, has grown and grown over the centuries to a breaking point now where inordinate love of power at the highest levels is sabotaging ordained love of constitutional principle. Now, this love of power versus the power of love is the classic struggle of the good wolf and the bad wolf. And it all has to do with different powers that are organized in America around money and power that has incorporated and consolidated and merged and grown and grown to the point where now it's a challenge to constitutional principle. And that's kind of a safe statement, but I'll be going into this more. Militarized corporate government has harnessed power at the point of a gun to foist endless terror war on the world for economic and political control. And the cost to conscience is the psychology of subservience to tyranny, the antithesis and nemesis of self-governing public power, whereby conscience is the most sacred of all property. And that conscience is the most sacred of all property is a quote from James Madison, who is chief architect of the Constitution. So maybe you can see where I'm going with this. Inordinate power that resists any public option by and for public consent will naturally resent social conscience and refuse to self-correct its inordinate habits. And, of course, I'm kind of doing a little review of history here as I go into this with the idea that, you know, either we learn from history or we're, so to speak, condemned to repeat it. And rather than go the route of victim with the bad wolf, I'm going to go into more of the victory virtues with the good wolf. So the whole world witnessed how the arguably stolen election of the G.W. Bush presidency had, at its beginning, the lowest public opinion polls in modern history. Until we were all united by the false flag domestic terror that hijacked public opinion with a blank check for endless terror war, which escalated with the Iraq attack exactly 7 years ago on the spring equinox, even though the largest global public protests in history were held in major cities worldwide. And as we know, the real terrorists went free for all to see. And I like the quote from Aesop, as in Aesop's Fables, on this, when he said, "We hang the petty thieves and appoint the great ones to public office." I'm trying to keep my sense of humor here. By the end of the of Shrub's presidency, you know, Bush Jr., many of us discovered how Grandpappy Bush was the American banker financing Hitler's military-industrial complex, working in tandem with John D. Rockefeller, who merged his drug, oil, chemical cartel with the German equivalent, which was IG Farben, from whence all of Hitler's commanding officers came. And that's really well documented in the book by World Without Cancer by Griffith, who is, I think one time was the one of the editors of The New American, but he also wrote the book on the Federal Reserve Bank called Creatures from Jekyll Island, and some of you may be familiar with that. And it details exactly that, how John D. Rockefeller merged his drug, oil, chemical cartel with IG Farben before World War II. And it was IG Farben that provided all the officers for Hitler's command. So Hitler was a front man for the Rocky-Farben partnership with intent to enforce corporate monopoly of their cartel across Europe, just as Rocky's competition is a sin philosophy had done in America, or done to America. So if you do a little serious online search on this subject, you'll find that Grandpappy Prescott Bush was also a lead accomplice in a conspiracy of American military and political leaders who attempted a military coup for takeover of the United States government. And I just found that out this last year. But you can check that out for yourself. So, surprise, surprise, Shrub was a chimp off the old block. Anyway, the response of the American people, weary with endless war and sanity, was to vote for the Republicans out of office when Obama came along. And hoping for change, we all wanted to believe that a public option was possible, but now that hope has hit the wall, the same entrenched power behind the scenes that was behind the scenes of Bush. So I like this quote from James Madison, who was chief architect of the Constitution, who said, "History records that the money changers have used every form of abuse, intrigue, deceit, and violent means possible to maintain their control over governments by controlling the money and its issuance." And that was very prophetic. We've seen what's happened with the Federal Reserve banking system as it's taken over the Treasury's money and its issuance. So I'm talking about the bad wolf here, but I'll be going into the good wolf more in a little bit here. We have now witnessed how the Wall Street banksters created the economic collapse with multiple techniques for stripping the equity out of their, quote, Wall Street for the masses, unquote, you know, the stock market. And the same banksters are still running the show as command officers under their commander-in-chief in the endless war for global empire. So one of my favorite humorists is George Carlin, who once said, he used to be on Saturday Night Live, and he once said, "Nothing is as cloaked in BS as war. War is business conducted at a gunpoint. Nothing more, nothing less. War costs a fortune, and the money is only loaned when the people borrowing it have the assets to back up the loans, i.e. the money that they hope to make from the war, and if it fails to pay off, the taxpayers, slaves, suckers back home." The U.S. income tax, he says, the IRS and Wall Street for the masses was created to pay for World War I. Most people don't know that history. And that's from George Carlin, a comedian. So by milking the masses with Wall Street for the masses, the public has seen their investments stolen virtually trillions of dollars by the plan and intent of COG, continuation of government. If you ever heard of COG, but you can do a Google search on COG, continuation of government, and you'll find that they've been building, funneling trillions of dollars for black projects, off-the-record projects, and have built hundreds of deep underground military bases, dumps, to prepare for what they know is coming to everyone in 2010. Now, this is, we're getting into some serious stuff here, but check it out for yourself. And there's links there specifically on what they know is coming, Signs of the Times, so that you can click on those links and see what's coming in 2010. This is on the BBS radio webpage link that I provide. There's this article copy and these links. So this is arguably a dangerous time for America, and the real danger is rarely understood. The arch plutocrat David Rockefeller once said, "We are on the verge of global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis, and the nations will accept the New World Order." Now, that's quite a statement, and sometimes I've wondered if this is the default strategy of David Rockefeller, waiting for the flyby of Planet X so they can come out of their underground bunkers and rule the remnant, or is he talking about more domestic terror like 9/11 that's being planned? Naturally, the public feels a lot of resistance to any talk of this, any such concept, even of of any tyranny with no public option, as might in any way compete with Rocky's drug, oil, chemical cartel, which since his father, John D. Rockefeller, has expanded and consolidated financial and political influence over the most powerful interlocked complex of money changers, media manipulators, medical monopolists, and energy vampires, big oil and big evil, you might say, in the entire world. So we're talking about the bad wolf here. Hold on, I'll be getting to the good wolf. Anyway, David Rockefeller, quoted, as quoted above, is the same founder of the Globalist Trilateral Commission. And he's godfather of the New World Order, who confessed, with all humility aside, in his memoirs, saying, and this is a quote from David Rockefeller in 2002, after 9/11 foisted the big lie of a foreign enemy that hates our freedom. And he said, "For more than a century, ideological extremists at either end of the political spectrum have seized upon well-publicized incidents to attack the Rockefeller family for the inordinate influence they claim we wield over American political and economic institutions. Some even believe we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will. Well, if that's the charge, I stand guilty, and I'm proud of it." Oh, I think he protests too loudly. Well, actually, he says he stands guilty and he's proud of it. So that's from his memoirs in 2002. So there you have it, right from the patriarch of the power elite oligarchy who gave us big oil, big pharma, big media, and the privatized Federal Reserve banksters who have bankrolled the war profiteers behind every big war of the last 100 years. And he's proud of it. A legacy of power politics that have risen to a gross level of criminal intent to create the right major crisis to force a totalitarian world order down the throats of collective humanity. And now there are many warning signs of the times. There's that link to the website that I hope everyone checks out. And there are many of these warning signs that these self-professed Olympian gods, so they called themselves, intend to warnings that they intend to force their agenda of total control. So, of course, we're talking about some behind-the-scenes wolves. They put on a good face. Sometimes they're referred to as wolves in sheep's clothing. But again, hold on, I'll be getting to the good wolf here shortly. Anyway, this is all, we've all heard about, you know, the concept of the big lie, and then there's the really big lie. There's the wars of provocateur terror, not a war against terror. And we've all seen how the wagging of the dog by framing intelligence to fit the agenda of endless war profiteering that creates and manages terror. So this is a lot to stomach for a lot of light bearers. The most common feeling of a lot of light bearers is to believe that everyone's a light bearer, and they just don't like to even think of that there might be wolves in sheep's clothing out there. But there's a little reality therapy in this program today. As Edgar J. Hoover once said, and he was FBI director for many years, he once said that the individual is handicapped by coming face-to-face with a conspiracy so monstrous he cannot believe it exists. So that's quite a statement. But anyway, these powerly potentates, as we all know, have offshored American jobs for profit. And they created a boom cycle of war profiteering that they orchestrated while creating massive trade deficits collateralized by criminally inflated home mortgages. And I'm sure you've all followed that story. They've also created national emergencies like 9/11 that they then used to consolidate power with militarized corporate government, which forces their agenda with a service economy that serves their version of God government, while they are the gods making the rules with no public option. And I'm using that no public option in reference to this healthcare takeover that has no public option. So one of my favorite quotes regarding this situation, taking the mask off the bad wolf, you might say, is a quote by Thucydides, Thucydides. Thucydides, I don't know, my Greek's not really good, but his quote is, "Love of power operating through greed and through personal ambition was the cause of all these evils." And that kind of sizes it up. We're back to that whole confrontation of the good wolf and the bad wolf and the love of power versus the power of love. So I'll be getting that good wolf here in a little bit. Anyway, so now you know the real enemy. It's kind of self-evident. This is not the change in government we're seeing right now that many people voted for a year ago. It's the takeover of government by corporatism. I provide a link on that with an article that in depth goes to this concept of corporatism as the merger of state power, big government with big business for corporatism. And the power elite that is strangling America right now with the economy clearly have intent to keep power, informed consent, public consent, or a public option from the public rather than of by and for the people, all people. I mean, this is it's a global issue now. And the global empire has made it a global issue. So the question is, what rights are there when government bails out corrupt Wall Street at the expense of Main Street? What rights are there when government subsidizes a corrupt medical industrial complex that will not allow a public option that represents health freedom rights? And this is a quote from Jefferson, if people let the government decide what foods they eat and what medicines they take, their bodies will soon be in as sorry a state as are the souls who live under tyranny. Interesting quote, kind of prophetic. So what constitutional law has a chance when corporate law says that stockholders come before the public when profits are at stake? And again, we're talking about giant corporations that do hundreds of billions of dollars a year. And the corporate law states that when profits are at stake, shareholders come before the public. So there you have the core enemy. Can we all agree on that? Is it true that organized greed is the cause of these evils? And would you agree that organized altruism, the power of love, is the best counterbalance to the inordinate love of power? So I'm getting to the good wolf here. Anyway, back to James Madison again, who said, if tyranny and oppression come to this land, it will be in the guise of fighting a foreign enemy. Of all the enemies to public liberty, war is perhaps the most dreaded, the most to be dreaded, because it comprises and develops the germ of every other evil. No nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare, or as they call it now, the endless war on terror. So loss of freedom of the people of the world is actually the power elite and intent of their New World Order. I call it the New World Odor that stinks to high heaven. That intent is to privatize public institutions, enforce servitude that perpetuates their power to own and control the physical and human resources of humanity. That's kind of their mission statement, you know, and to monopolize markets. So that self-evident truth is the same today as the common sense which rebelled against the British lords who wanted to lord their power over the American people. And Jefferson's response to that, which is etched in stone in the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C., is that I have sworn before the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of men. So that's kind of where most Americans feel. They feel that way, but of course the question is, how does the good wolf here check and balance the bad wolf? I mean, there's a passionate mainstream revulsion for corporate tyranny. It was the same back then in early America, and it's the same revulsion globally today. And global netizens, as I refer to them, global citizens, are well aware how the big lie has become so big and so bold and so often told that many people actually believe that more money will solve the problem. Just throw money at it. But witness the organized problem of corporate tyranny that is bankrupting the currency of conscience in the world by bankrolling endless wars for corporate profits. And again, we're getting back to an issue of, yes, we need security, but a strength in excess is quickly becoming a weakness. And witness also the corporate insanity that's poisoning our life support systems, the air we breathe, the water we drink, the food we eat, and destroying the healthy genetics of future generations while making a killing, treating the symptoms with toxic drugs that compound the problem with gene-corrupting decadence of our bodies. In other words, these toxic genetic poisons in the food chain, in our water, in the air, are really affecting the genetic material of not just human evolution, but all sentient life on Earth. So why is this now a truly do-or-die crisis? The future of humanity and all sentient life on Earth is now threatened by signs of the times which warn us that cataclysmic destruction is coming upon the earth before a greater evil corrupts this platform for evolution. Well, that's quite a statement, but think about it. What would God do in the cosmic scheme of Earth's evolution if enough good people did nothing to stop the desecration of the sacred DNA blueprint for all future generations of life on Earth? I mean, it's serious. This is one of the signs of the times. We're seeing the same manipulation of the genetic code that went on at the times of Atlantis before the deluge. Well, Americans don't like tyranny, and we are now facing a kind of abject evil that doesn't want you to prepare for what's coming upon the earth. Many Americans are so confused that they believe that their best hope is to channel their resistance, their resentment, and their revenge by foolishly considering the need to return Republican power brokers to power. When will the American people realize that the left-right divisions only serve to maintain the illusion of freedom of choice when the same Wall Street power elite behind the scenes play both sides like puppets on a string at the expense of Main Street America? So the message here is to beware the agenda of domestic terror for population control without a public option. And domestic terror can come in a lot of forms, and the key word here is public option. And it's like public opinion or public consent to what our government is doing for us or to us. So the crisis now, and I'm going back to these this message of signs of the time, and those include warning signs that false flag domestic terror is being planned to divert dissent and direct revenge, this negative energies, against a foreign enemy such as Iran and those domestic pesky patriots who get branded as terrorists for dissent or resistance. So be aware, this is how the dark side, you might say, how the dark side would turn our own negativity against us. And this is important to understand. As the veil thins at an accelerating rate on the 2010-2012 timeline, the consequences for our energies, individually and collectively, are magnified immensely. So, in reference to the healthcare issue, Representative Ron Paul recently said, just last week, he said, following months of heated public debate and aggressive closed-door negotiations, Congress finally cast a historic vote on health care late Sunday evening. It was truly a sad weekend on the House floor as we witnessed further dismantling of the Constitution, disregard of the will of the people, explosive expansion of the reach of government, unprecedented corporate favoritism, and the impending end of quality health care as we know it. So the public naturally feels betrayed and angry. But if we don't become fearlessly united with a vision for healing the scarcity of conscience, then inordinate energies of revenge and retaliation will feed into the dark side momentums to be used against us with more domestic terror. In other words, it's all connected now like never before. If there's not a strong public will for self-correction, the good wolf, you might say, for self-correction of a self-elevation or otherwise salvation nature, then the tendency is to revert to the bad wolf and go to the dark side. And this is the real enemy, which is our collective dark side. So there's what's going on as the veil thins on the accelerating 2010-2012 timeline is that we increasingly experience a collective judgment whereby we get what we ask for, whether that is a system of government that is either tyrannical or truly healing. And this is the classic truism in the story of the Indian grandfather who explained who will win in the battle between the dark side and the light side. And that's the story I began with. And he tells the story, that Cherokee elder to his grandchildren, teaching them about life, and he says there's these two wolves, and the one, this fight is going on inside of me, and there's this, the one wolf represents all the dark side energy, the one wolf represents all the light side energies, and this same fight is going on inside of you and every other person too. And the grandchildren thought about it for a minute and said, which wolf will win, grandfather? And he simply said, the one I feed. That's the message of the thinning veil on the 2012 timeline. In other words, which wolf we feed is basically, we're going to very quickly where we're coming from, and that's individually and collectively. Call it discernment, call it judgment. We're all individually and collectively increasingly getting what we ask for, whether we know it or like it or not. And there's challenges in this regard, and there's opportunities in this regard. And there's it's like whether the cup is half empty or half full, it's how you look at it. So let's get into this. The one view that's half empty, the bad wolf says, and the bad wolf within us says, wolves in sheep's clothing are beginning to herd the sheep over a steep cliff. In other words, the dark side references the negative aspect of what's going on. And it's not that there isn't some truth to it, it's just that you don't want to magnify and multiply the energies of the dark side by feeding into it. So again, the question comes back to which wolf are you feeding? Thomas Jefferson had a quote regarding this. He said that we have the greatest opportunity the world has ever seen as long as we remain honest, which will be as long as we can keep the attention of our people alive. If they once become inattentive to public affairs, you and I and Congress and assemblies, judges and governors would all become wolves. He's talking about the bad wolf. So there's a half-full view also, and that is the wolves in sheep's clothing have now been exposed, and the public now has a clear choice. Actually, the public has always had the option to correct any system of government that is repugnant to the Constitution. The reality of the problem now compels a common-sense solution. Accountability of government to the purpose for which it was created, the purpose for which it's supposed to serve. The power of enlightened public opinion has never been more mainstream than now with the instant everywhere and interactive Internet. The same grassroots or netroots community organizing that brought Obama to power could now be utilized to demand free online universal self-care and global holistic healing models. And I provided links to both those subjects. And while the Internet is still relatively open, each patriot netizen citizen has the power to pay it forward, networking for the net worth of this healing vision. So the positive half-full view is basically saying, as I quote Teilhard de Chardin, man can harness the winds, the waves, and the tides, but when he can harness the power of love, then for the second time in the history of the world, man will have discovered fire. And this is the fire of the good wolf he's referring to. So on the website, I go into more of the half-empty view of the bad wolf as compared to the other way of looking at things, the half-full view of the good wolf. For example, the breakthrough holistic healing technologies that could now provide golden age health care for all. If you read the amazing but true story at Healing Miracle, and I provide a link there, you'll know that spiritual healing is more powerful than any drug. And if you read an autobiographical story I provided at meetings with miraculous people, you'll discover how technology now exists to provide inexpensive holistic health care for the public at large, at the internet, over the internet, and with holistic healing models. If only we pay attention to the opportunity with pure intention to make it so. So providing visions of how things could be, you know, some people see how bad things are and say why, other people see how good things could be and say why not. And this is the classic cup, half empty, cup half full, good wolf, bad wolf. Or as Victor Hugo said, there's nothing more powerful than a vision that has found its time. So I'm not going to have time to go into the rest of this material. I provided the link. There's some pictures, graphics, a lot of different quotes, and it goes through this half-full view, half-empty view, the good wolf, the bad wolf, and two ways of looking at the same issue of health care. And it's all in flux. Things are changing very quickly. You can go either direction. My perspective is the only way to go is up, up in consciousness, up in conscience, and basically the portents for a global revolution in higher consciousness. So the half-full perspective, basically, in regard to healthcare, is that common sense warrants that an ounce of prevention is still worth a pound of cure. Common sense would say that social capital derives from social conscience. Conscientious common sense tells us there are good consequences for making government accountable to the public's best interests. There is only security with public purity, pure intention that takes the profit out of sickness care called health care. Common sense tells us that health care is so expensive because it is a backwards disease care system that rewards sickness with profit for medical drug pushers that treat symptoms with toxic drugs, which compound systemic disease in the body for treatment with more drugs. And the medical-industrial complex grows, rivaling the military-industrial complex. This is what we've seen so far. If we don't take the profit out of disease and war, we get what we ask for, disease and war. And if we focus attention on prevention, such as the example I give with the link to free online universal self-care, health assurance policies will replace health insurance gambles where the house, the insurance companies, always win. You know, gambling houses are rigged, so the houses always win. Same way with health insurance. Corporate law states that wherever profits are at stake, their shareholders come before the public. So basically, the cup half full view is that it's just plain stupid to allow public health to be regulated by drug pushers in the insurance industry, since they're bound by corporate law to maximize profit rather than prevent disease. So we all know that. So it's time we made common sense more common, pure intention that focuses attention on healing models. You know, what's working with holistic healing and how that could be made available with free online information services, with self-perfecting databases, and a vision for healing that will link the light of what's working best, you know, to the masses for holistic healing. I like the quote from that bright bulb, Thomas Edison, who said, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but will interest patients in the care of the human frame, in diet, and in the cause and prevention of disease." So there are bad wolves that are not interested in that, and there are good wolves that really see the cup half full and how we have freedom and opportunity to self-correct and heal not only our bodies but the healthcare institutions themselves. So we shape our institutions, and our institutions then shape us. So one of the core institutions shaping our net reality, all our other institutions, our government, is the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court recently decided that corporations now have equal rights to funding elections as do individuals. And that's definitely a half-empty proposition. And has brought the Constitution under siege because, again, corporate law states that wherever profits are at stake, shareholders come before the public. Now, the half-full view is that, you know, the good wolf would say, if we want to feed that, we would focus our attention on the understanding that constitutional law has ample precedence to confirm that any law which is repugnant to the Constitution of the United States is therefore no law at all. When the government becomes lawless, the core freedom of right to life is betrayed. Life is the core fundamental value, the right to own your own life. Without that fundamental right to your own life, there can be no freedom, no liberty, no right to own property. It's the core right. The single most important distinction between the United States of America and the rest of the world has been the concept that human beings are born with a right to their individual lives, a right exclusive to the interests of any person, group, or government. We are not endowed with rights by any kind of by our government, any kind of government. And yet, we have witnessed how our government decided to grant the right over our health to a segment of our population while striking down the right to life and property of every American citizen. At the same time, our government redefined the term rights not to be an individual freedom of action, but be only those actions allowed by government. As for the Declaration of Independence, as it says, governments derive their just powers from the consent of the government, not the other way around. So, as the Declaration of Independence said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the Declaration of Independence states that when government no longer serves that purpose, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. So, that's the good wolf speaking. And if we feed the good wolf, then we can self-correct. There are ways to basically bring public opinion consent of the governed to bear. So I'm going to give a wrap here. I've got a lot more material on the website that you can read. I've got some notable quotables, some quotes. I highly encourage people to read the link on the Signs of the Times. If you can read those, you'll see that the real concern that's coming, what's coming in the near future, we all need to prepare for, and that everyone will be owning their own life before long. So the prudency, danger, and prepare, but the simple don't, and they suffer for it. That's translated from Proverbs 27:12. And with that, I'm going to say thank you for listening, and I look forward to connecting here in another couple of weeks. So until then, happy trails. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There is a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule law language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the lightworkers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.